Can you tilt that stuff? Tilt it to the back a little. Yeah. Amen. Welcome somebody around you this morning. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Amen. Can you come and take this media? Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. This morning we are looking at a very important topic. I want everybody to try to get this message afterwards and listen to it over and over again. I want the follow-up team to get this message ready. We'll give this message to all our first-timers. Hallelujah. Because we are looking at the DNA of a shouter. Praise God. The DNA of a member of Shout of Grace Center. It's extremely important to understand why you are here. Amen. Because if you don't understand why you are here, you may miss out in the blessings of God for your life. My prayer is that you not miss out in Jesus' name. And so this message is extremely important. Perhaps one of the most important messages I've ever preached on or taught on, because this message brings out why we are here, what we are doing in Shadow Grace Center. When you find yourself in any local assembly, in any church, you need to understand, why am I here? What am I doing here? What is their vision? Where are they going? Where they are going to? Is that where I'm going to as well? You don't just jump into some church and just attend somewhere, anywhere, any day. Or you move from one church to another Sunday after Sunday. When you do like that, your spiritual life will be out of order. God said to in the scripture, he said, there is a place by me. So our assignment in this world is geographical. You cannot flourish everywhere on earth. That's why you are not an American, you are Nigerian. Oh, I wish I was born in America. There are poor people there, praise God. Ministry, assignment, purpose is geographical. You are like a seed. And seeds don't flourish everywhere. There's some kind of seeds that will grow in the north. They won't do well here. Are you with me? That's why they bring groundnut from the north. They bring beans from the north. They bring onions from the north. Hallelujah. And there's some kind of fruits that will do well here. Won't do well in the north. So your life and every season of your life, wherever you find yourself in a local assembly, is for a purpose. You don't just say, okay, that one looks fine. The color of the place is blue. That's what I want. No. You ask God, where am I supposed to be? Because you cannot flourish when you are outside the place of your planting. Is somebody with me? That is why you don't belong to every family on earth. You belong to a specific family. You don't answer to every name. You only answer to your surname, isn't it? You have a dad, you have a mom. Not like the whole world is your father. Otherwise, when Dangote dies, you could as well go there and claim your inheritance. But you can't because you are not Dangote. Your name is Agbabiaka. You can't go to Dangote's family. You don't belong to the family. But a full-fledged son of Dangote, he doesn't need to fight for inheritance. It belongs to him. By virtue of his family, his identity. Is somebody with me? So this morning, I want to explain for us the identity of a shouter. What makes somebody a member of a Shout of Grace Center? And how does that connect with being blessed? How does that put money in your pocket? There's a difference between a son and a servant. Always a difference. I'm sure some of you growing up, your parents probably had house ups. You know the way ourselves dress? When you get to a particular house, nobody needs to tell you that this is a house elf, or this is a gardener, or this is a security. You just know. Is somebody with me? Even when the house elf is just maybe like 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, of course that's not the ideal, but that's just the way it has been. And then you have this house elf that's 6, so the moment you see him, you know that he's not part of the children. He's dressing, his appearance, his body language, the way he does his things, you just know he's not part of the family. You are not a servant, you are a son. Is somebody with me? You are a son in the house. Hallelujah. But it is saddening to note that a lot of believers are still living like servants, like slaves, within their family. There's a difference. In John chapter 8 and verse 35, the Bible says, "And the servant abideth not in the house forever." He said, "But the son abideth ever." In other words, there is a clear difference between a servant and a son. A servant abided not in the servant has about 12, 13, 15 churches. He goes around. He belongs to nowhere. He has no family. He has no spiritual family. He's not planted anywhere. He can't say, "This is my family." But you see, when you look at the scripture, you discover that God is a God of families. 12 tribes of Israel. Why will God do that? Tribe of Levi, tribe of Judah, tribe of this and that. In the book of Matthew, it begins with a genealogy. The story of Jesus began with a genealogy. Family. Family. God is a God of family. He has placed the solitary in families. The same way, Shard of Grace Center is like a spiritual family. Where you belong, once you're a member of this place, you belong to that family. And when you are a member of a family, there are things that are expected of you. You don't live your life anyhow. You don't wake up in your family house under your dad and mom and say, "This is what I want to do." No. Your dad rings the bell. If you're from the Christian home, everybody comes to the sitting room for prayers. Is somebody with me? It's either you are washing the car or washing the plates or sweeping the floor. You have a particular responsibility in your family and you dare not say no. And even after you leave your parents and you start having your own family and you are living alone, and then there's this family function, your dad gives you a call, just one call, "We need to see." And then you go say, "We have this particular function, though. This is your contribution." You can't argue it. You have the family. Is somebody with me? You can't say, "I don't have." You go and look for it. You are family. You are responsible. There's a sense of belonging. Are you with me this morning? So there's a clear difference between a church member and a son or daughter in the house. A church member has no sense of belonging. Wants to just go and come. Does nothing in the church. Has no relationship with the pastor. Has no relationship with the pastor's wife. Is not a member of the workforce. Is not doing nothing. It just comes and goes. Church member. A son or a daughter, just like a natural son or daughter would do something in the house, sweep the floor, clean the car, mop the floor, do this on a Saturday. A son or a daughter in the house is known by his or her contribution to that spiritual family. "This is what I do. I belong to the choir. I belong to the ushering department. I belong to the sanctuary keeping department." It is a problem. And it is selfishness to be part of a family and do nothing. Are you with me? Selfishness. Now, a man's inheritance is only accessed by virtue of his identity, not how he looks. You say, "I look like that family. Let me go and collect my inheritance." It doesn't work that way. It's your identity. Do you belong to this family? Oh, beautiful. Then your inheritance is here. The same way spiritual inheritances goes with where you are planted. Your inheritance is in life. If it is in one particular church in Songo, even though there are no more than 10, if that's where your spiritual inheritance is, you better sit down there. Otherwise, you can't be blessed. Is somebody with me? So you don't choose a church because it is big or the choir is nice. No, you are led by the Holy Spirit. Where am I supposed to be? Are you with me? And we have several people here like that in this church tell you, they put in the first time as from, how did you come to Shallow Grace? I say, "There's the Holy Spirit." "How did you come?" "I just saw the billboard and somebody told me to come." And they joined. Some other people, my friend said I should come. When I came, there is a place. And when you get to the place where God has made for you, you will know. It will resonate in your heart. Just like the baby in Mary jumped up at the baby of Elizabeth, right in the womb, you will know something will jump on your inside that I'm in the right place. Are you with me this morning? So in the event that there's a controversy of identity, what do you do? DNA, isn't it? Say, go and check the DNA. Let's know whether it's the actual son or daughter. My wife works, heads a diagnostic company, and she tells me from time to time how people come to check the DNA, and then there is fight. Husband and wife come, let's check. And then there's fight afterwards. This is not my son. Where did you get this person from? Where did you get us? All kind of issues around here. Praise God. The DNA, your DNA structure tells you where you come from. Is somebody with me? The DNA is the final settler of every trouble, every doubt. It doesn't fail. And so, what is the DNA structure of a member of Shadow Grace Center? Because you need to be consistent with that in order to be blessed. There are a lot of people that go to churches all over the place and say, I don't know, something, nothing has happened to me, I'm not blessed, I'm not. You see, you need to understand why you are a believer and what you are doing in a local assembly. Are you still with me? Glory to God. So the DNA of a father cannot be found in a servant. Did you get that? So if you live like a servant, like a slave, you do nothing, you don't participate in nothing. They say give, you don't tithe, you don't give one free. You don't do nothing. You just come and go. You are living like a servant, and the DNA of God, of that particular spiritual family, will not be part of your life. So spiritual inheritances, when the angels are handing them forth, they just skip. This is not part of the family. Are you still with me? You remember the prodigal son, when he went out of his DNA structure and environment, what happened to him? He started living with pigs. Started fighting for food with pigs. When he went out of his DNA environment, and his life was out of order until he returned to his family. Until he returned. Proverbs chapter 49. And verse 12. It says, nevertheless, are you with me? Nevertheless, a man being in honor abideth not, is like the beast that perished. What is this? What is the Bible trying to say here? This man is in honor, but he does not abide. He does not stay. He does not stay in the house. The Bible says it's like a beast that perished. In verse 20 of the same scripture, verse 20, it says, man that is in honor and understandeth not is like a beast that perish. The first one says, abideth not. This one says, understand. So it's not only for you to abide in the house, but you must also understand. And that is what we are looking at this morning. There are things we don't do because we are members of Shadow Grace Center. Our DNA does not permit it. Are you with me? For example, in Shadow Grace Center, we don't beat our wives. It's not part of our family. Somebody says, okay, so does it mean somebody who is a wife beater cannot join the family? No, he can join, but once you join, you stop beating your wife. We're not wife beaters here. I've never in my life raised my hands against my wife for any reason. I've had been annoyed before several times. So pastors get angry. Oh, they probably get angry than the rich man. Are you with me? We don't beat our wives. In Shard of Grace Center, it is not in our DNA to attend night parties. We don't do it. We don't do it. Have you ever been experienced this? When your father calls you, it doesn't happen much again, but those days used to say, as you are going out to school now, let me tell you the taboos of our family. Has anybody ever experienced that? He said, we don't swim in our family. Don't join them to enter swimming pool. You will drown. He said, we don't eat tortoise. These are your kind of things. The same way in our family, there are things we don't do. We don't sleep around. We are not dogs. It's dogs that sleep around. Ewure, goat. We're not goats. We don't sleep around. In shadow of grace. Part of our DNA. Hello. In shadow of grace center, we don't steal. We are faithful to our spouses. That's our DNA. There are things we don't do. We don't take alcohol and call it Holy Communion. Your pastor is the father of the house. I've never in my life taken alcohol. Never. I don't know how it is. Be it Gulda, Star, or whatever. Oh, so what about me that I've been taking Gulda from 5 year old? Am I not a member of this church? Oh, you're a member, but you stop doing that. Are you with me? I don't know what smoking looks like. I've never smoked before in my life. We don't do it. It's not part of our family. So when a smoker joins our church, there is grace and anointing that enter into his or her DNA to alter the structure that was there before. Is somebody with me? And make him lose taste for smoking. Oh, when you're a member of Shadow of Grace Center, you used to smoke before, you were smoking cigarette before, you joined church, you now move to Indian hemp. You are not part of this family. Look for another, go to Fela Shrine. That's your family. It's not here. Are you with me? Things are meant to get better, not worse. That's why you're a member of Shadow of Grace Center. We're in the business of changing lives, not religion. Glory to God. You see those choir members dancing, what do you call those things? I was looking at them. Leave them alone. We change lives here. I was talking about some holy person. I say, Shaku Shaku inside church. These people they are not born again. We are born again. Glory to God. And I will tell them, no Shaku Shaku on the stage again. What's the meaning of that? Is that one in the Bible? It's not part of our DNA. Praise God. It's not a sin, though. His dance step is not a sin. But I'm not sure it's part of... Did you see me do like... Where did you get it from? It must be Sylvester that taught you that one. Hallelujah. He's the one that has all kind of dance steps. So as we are saying, you may have done all these things, but the moment you join us, things become different. Glory to God. The genetic code will be altered and rewritten. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 11 verse 19. He says, I will give them one heart. Come on, say amen. A new heart, and I will put a new spirit within them. Can you see that? Changing of genetic code. And I will take the stony, unnaturally hardened heart out of their flesh. I will give them a heart of flesh, sensitive and responsive to the touch of their God. Glory to God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 3, he says, you show and make obvious that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, not written with ink, but with the spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. God is saying like a written ink, like he's writing something. And when you understand DNA structure, you discover that it's just a sequence of letters. Words. That's what DNA is. Sequence of letters on your inside. But everybody's genetic code is different from the others. The family is unique. If you're part of the family, that is your uniqueness in terms of genetic code. God said, I will write with the spirit of the living God on the tablets of human hearts. He will rewrite. So whatever you have been doing before that's been a bad habit, that's been a struggle, that's been sinful, and you couldn't do it, when you come and join this family, the grace to change and alter will be delivered to you. Are you with me? Are you still here? Alright. So, we see how God rewrites this thing. In Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, the Bible says, for the word of God is quick and powerful. Come on, say amen. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. In other words, the word of God is what will do this work. In James chapter 1 and verse 21, what did he say? He says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness. Come on, say lay apart. And superfluity of naughtiness. And receive. Come on, say receive. With meekness. Meekness means a teachable spirit. When you are being taught, receive. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to what? Save your soul. So what God does when you join a particular family is that He takes His words and engrafts it. Just as you are listening to me, is the word of God is not just going through your ears and coming out through the other. It's going into your heart and rewriting a lot of things that are not supposed to be there. That is why the scripture says, be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. The word transform is metamorpho in Greek, and he's saying, let there be a change as you are listening to God's word. Are you still here with me? So this thing I'm sharing with us is powerful. In amplified version of James 1:21, he said, get rid of all uncleanness and rampant outgrowth of wickedness, and in a humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the word which implanted and rooted in your heart contains the power to save your souls. How does the Message translation put it? It says, so throw all spoiled virtues and cancerous evil in the garbage. In simple humility, let our gardener, that is God, land you with the word. Did you see that? God will landscape your destiny with His word, making a salvation garden of your life. See, when you join this family, you allow yourself to be operated on by God. God will landscape your life. Take all the bad stuffs away from your life and give you His precious Holy Spirit. And then you can live victoriously. Are you with me? Now let's get to this thing. What is the DNA of a shouter? The first thing I would like to explain to us is about our vision. You remember our vision? Because in understanding who a member of a child of grace is, you need to understand or identify with the vision and goal of Child of Grace Center. What is our vision? Raising a generation of men and women who are what? Passionate. So the key word is what? Passionate. Raising a generation of men and women. Can we say it together? Raising a generation of men and women who are what? Passionate. So the word is passion. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Message translation of that scripture, it says, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence. What is the definition of passion? I said it means enthusiasm for something, a keen interest in something. And some of the synonyms of passion is excitement, zeal, delight, fervency, desire, hunger, thirst, craving, conviction, drive. These are all the things that explains what we do in Shadow of Grace Center and the kind of people we are trying to raise. Passionate people. Come on, say passionate people. So our genetic code is actually spelled passion. Say, what do they do there? Passion. Come and say passion. Shout it. Passion. Passion. Everything we do in Shadow of Grace Center, we do it passionately. Dance passionately. Worship passionately. Give passionately. Clean this place up passionately. Everything passionately. We don't do things anyhow. Are you with me? All right. Now, there are three ways that our passions will be expressed. Number one is passion towards God. Number two is passion in you. Number three is passion towards God. Now, the next thing I want to do right now is to break this down for us. Passion towards God, passion in you, and passion towards the church. And I'm going to mention 10 things under these different sub-headings to explain. And here in Child of Grace Center, and by the time we're through, I'm sure somebody will be blessed. Hallelujah. The first thing, what does it say? I can't hear you. I must be passionate about God. I must be passionate about what? About God. And I put it there. How does that happen? Number one, worship Him. Number two, number three, put Him first place. This is what shows our passion for God. Do you have a time that you worship God? Then you are a member of Shadow Grace Center. Do you obey Him? Then you are part of His family. Do you put Him first place? Before you take any decision, what will God say? How will God see it? That is our definition, people. And as we continue teaching, if you find yourself lagging behind in any of these areas, then you start writing at the corner of your notes, somewhere in your notes, action plans, things I need to change. That's how you listen to a message. Listening to a message, you are writing down not only what is being taught or what is being said, you are writing down what you need to do, action plans. These are the things I need to change. And that is how you make a change. Change is deliberate. It doesn't jump on you. You have to sit down, think, and make up your mind. It is deliberate. So, I must be passionate about God. Number two, I must be passionate about Jesus and His Word. I must be passionate about Jesus and His Word. In this family, we study God's Word. We read God's Word. In this family, we don't read God's Word once in a week. But when we are coming to church, we read regularly. Come on, say regularly. That's what makes us in this family. Hallelujah. I grew up reading God's Word. I grew up studying God's Word, having night vigils on God's Word, as if I'm writing exams. But truly, there are examinations of life to be written. Glory to God. When I was on campus, we lived in the same hall. Before I proposed to my wife, because we're campus sweethearts, amen. Before I proposed to her, one of the visions I saw was that in that vision, I walked up to her room, and as soon as I entered, she was sitting by the table and speaking in tongues with different Bibles opened on her table, different translations. Glory to God. And I woke up, I said, that's beautiful. Up to now, my wife reads Bible like no man's. You know what I call my wife? I'm the pastor and I read my Bible. But you know what I call my wife at when I want to joke? I say, Mama Bible. Because she could sit down with Bible for 8 hours, 6 hours. Just sit down and be reading. That's how it's supposed to be. That's what runs in our family. Glory to God. We don't read Bible once in a week. We don't use New Testament as decoration. We read, we sit down. 1 hour reading the Bible. We sit down and we say things like, I want to finish the book of Matthew today. We sit down with it. That's what we do in our family. Glory to God. We don't put movies above reading God's Word. See, Avenger Infinity. You use your ad and money for food to download film. And then you now come to church. You say, Pastor, I need charity. There's no food. After you use your money to download film. We put God's Word first place in this family. Hallelujah. If I don't study God's Word, it will show instantly. Just like it will show in your life. When the devil tempted Jesus 3 times, how did Jesus reply? It is written. Did he have to go and reopen the Bible and say, wait for me there, I will show you today. But in scripture, no. It is in his heart. Meaning that he studied. If Jesus Christ studied, who are you? Glory to God. We are Wordites in this family. We put the Word of God first place. Let me tap your neighbor. Are you part of this family? When last did you read your Bible? Glory to God. It has to be read every day. Dunamis is in the university. I told him, whatever you read in your Bible, summarize it for me tonight on WhatsApp. I want to see it. He said, Daddy, ah. I said, what's old? So the first night he did it, he quoted, I didn't say copy and paste. What did you learn? Hello, somebody. Glory to God. That's what we are in this family. So we read, we study, we meditate, and then we confess the word. Our confession lines up with the word. We don't say stuff like, aye miti baje o modaron. It's not part of our language. If you're a Yoruba man, you suddenly go home, you call your daddy and say, daddy, are you okay? Where did you learn that from? That's not our language. Even when couples are getting married, you see their parents telling them, don't forget our language, yo. Your children, teach them our language, yo. Why? Because that is the language of the family. Our language in this family does not permit negative utterances. We don't say the F word. We don't say it in this family. We don't say it. Anything. What's the problem? We don't talk like that here. We don't use negative language. I'm finished. I'm dead, man. I'm dead. And you are still talking. All because you want self-pity so that you can borrow money. So I'm dead. You know, I'm dead. Say, why are you saying you are dead? You know, just look at me. I'm dead. You know, sometimes because we want to whip up sentiments, we start talking negative. You say, I'm finished, Pastor. You know, I'm a counselor, so when people call me, they say all kind of stuff. I say, Pastor, I'm finished. See, Jesus said he's finished. Why are you finishing too? Number three, I must be passionate about who? About the Holy Spirit. And we do that in two ways. We fellowship with Him and then we walk in the Spirit. We fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We ask the Holy Spirit what to do before we do it. Glory to God. We don't just jump around. We don't just conclude. We don't get married because he's tall, dark, and handsome. Attraction is good, but we also walk in the Spirit. And we say, Lord, is this who you want for me? We don't get married to guys because he has a car. We don't get married to guys because he goes to US and comes back and then he has bought you wristwatch and handbag and designer eyeglasses. So you forget about your family values. Say, born again my foot, I have seen my bubble. We don't do like that in this family. In this family, we don't come to church, find a particular sister, without making a recourse to the leadership, then we go to that sister. God told me, you are my wife. And let me warn you, this is a personal revelation. In case you say no, I fear for your life. Because what God has said, no man can change. And God said, you are my wife. Your destiny is tied to mine. There's nothing you can do about it. I'm not proposing. I'm telling you the revelation of God. We don't do like that. We don't threaten people in this family. Praise God. Walk up to a sister and say, how are you? How are you doing? I've been watching you for a while. I see that you are a responsible lady. God showed me that you are my wife and you have no choice. That is manipulation, witchcraft. We don't operate witchcraft in this church. It's not part of our family. Now let's move to passion in you, which is number four. Passion in you. Number four, I must passionately refuse and reject a life of compromise. And we're talking about sin and bad habits and weight. Are you with me? We refuse it. We reject it. It's not part of our life. Come on, tell somebody it's not part of our life. Glory to God. It's not part of our life. It's not part of what we do. Is somebody with me? You can't be a weakling in this particular area. Are you with me? You can't live your life anyhow. It's not part of our family. We live deliberately. We say no to sin. Are you with me? I've been offered free sex before. not by just anybody. Beautiful girl. Beautiful girl. You couldn't find a speck on her body. Light in complexion. Glowing yellow complexion. But we don't compromise in our family. We don't. Are you with me? We don't. In Amplified of Hebrews 12:1, therefore then, can we read together? Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off, throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and that sin which so readily, deftly, cleverly clings to and entangles us. Let us run with patience, endurance, and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us. Tell your neighbor there is a race set before you. You have to make up your mind to fulfill that race, to run that race. And one of the ways you do that is to live without compromise. Number 5, passion in you. Your face must be set like a flint. Are you with me? And this talks about discipline, focus, and courage. In this life, life only respects people whose minds are made up. If you are like this, going back and forth, dancing around, nothing is going to happen. Life only responds to people that are consistent. Somebody said that if you do small thing like this for 20 years, it will become big. Consistency. You discipline yourself. I was watching the movie of Samson, not the old one they did, the recent one they released. Is it 2018 or 2017? Powerfully scripted. Maybe we'll show it in church one of these Wednesdays. And courageous man. You know, the part where the Bible says he took the jawbone of an ass and killed 1,000 people was well, you know, acted out. The Spirit of God comes upon him. There's this supernatural strength. At the time, the Bible says he carried the gate of a city, not gate of a house. Gate of a city. Carried it up here for 3 miles. It's a strange kind of strength. But this man brought himself down because he is not disciplined. Samson will follow anybody in skirt. Even goat. He just loves women. He went into Gaza. He saw an harlot there. He went in unto her. At the time, he saw a particular woman. He couldn't speak correct English again. We don't do like that in this family. Yes, sir. He saw this lady. The beautiful lady captivated her. He ran to his father. He said, Father, get her for me to wife now. I'm sure the father must be like, what did you just say? Get her for you to wife? And the Holy Spirit put it in the scripture there like that. For you to know how a man can be confused. I've seen a man sit with a lady inside a taxi and then he starts sweating. Develops fever. You are not disciplined. He said, I can't help it. When I'm around a woman, I lose control. We don't do that in this family. That's a strange DNA. Is somebody with me? Archbishop Duncan Williams says you must not allow your erection to become your direction. You are going this way. You are going this way. That's your destination. You saw a girl pass. You say, whoa, 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 whoa. And you change your direction. What happened? Your erection just became your direction. Are you with me? I said erection. Now everybody looks as if they don't know what I'm talking about. It's a King James English. Have you? You really don't know. You have no idea. All of you are holy people. You must be disciplined, you must be focused, and you must be courageous. You must make up your mind. You are going to church on a Sunday morning, your friend comes and says, hey, there's this place, and then you change your mind and you followed him. We don't do that in this family. We are focused. Glory to God. Except for the Lord God will help me, I will not be confounded. Therefore, I've set my face like a flint. A flint is one of the hardest substances ever in the world. I have set my face like a flint. That's only when I know I won't be ashamed. In other words, if you are going back and forth, shame is in the offing. Are you with me? Luke 9:62. Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow, looking back, his feet for the kingdom of God. Anybody that's looking back, going back, is not fit for this family. We make up our mind here. Glory to God. Hebrews 10:8, now the just shall live by their faith, but if any man draw back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. God doesn't want you to draw back. God doesn't want you to get born again today and then tomorrow you take your life back from Jesus. Say, Jesus, you know what? I gave my life to you yesterday, but give it back to me. We don't do that here. We stay focused. But I keep my body under 1 Corinthians 9:27 and I bring it into subjection. That's what we do in this family. Lest that by any time when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So it means you can be a blessing to somebody, even lead somebody to Christ because you're in a certain unit, you're helping out, and yet you yourself become a castaway because you are not disciplined. So I put my body under. Come on, shout under. And that's where your body should be, not over. You don't allow your body to dictate to you. Your body is screaming, sex, I want sex. You stand up, my body wants sex. Okay, let me go and see Sister Sube, the usual customer. Sister Sube, Osinle, okay, Sister Comfort. No, you are not disciplined. You are working towards becoming a castaway like that. You will not be a castaway in Jesus' name. Number 6, I must be passionate about serving in God's house. The DNA of a shelter. I must serve. How can you be a part of the family and say, I don't sweep the floor, I don't wash plates, I don't clean cars, I just sleep on my bed in the room every morning, I speak in tongues. Your mommy is sweating it out in the kitchen. You say you are speaking in tongues in the room. What kind of tongue are you speaking? Your tongue won't reach the roof, not the talk of heaven. Are you here with me? Spoiled children are the ones that get home, sit down in the sitting room watching TV while their mom sweating it out in the kitchen. Spoiled guys watching football while the daddy is washing car outside. That's abnormal. So in this family, all of us work. Come on, say all of us work. Everybody works. You came into church this morning and you sat down. You're enjoying yourself. What if you come and the whole of this place has not been swept? What's the first thing you're going to do? You complain. What dirt in church? And what will? You are part of the church. Why did you come to sweep it? Or what if the sound system refuses to work? Somebody helps us fix this. Not even an outsider or we have somebody in the house that help us with this. What if it's not there? And all the speaker collapses and nothing is working. Say, they don't have excellence in that church. It's because there is somebody that is available. Excellence is human resources. Why are they using small TV? Are you talking about TV now? Big screen, you know, like the one in Koza. Why did you bring the money? And see whether it will be bought. Or don't even bring money. Go and bring the screen. The way we pray for you, eh? You can never miss it in life. I say, Urumu church, Urumu. One AC is 300K. Bring money. We'll buy it. Oh, don't even stress us with buying it. Carry a truck. Put 12 ACs there. The whole church will have night vigil on you. You can't miss heaven. We'll ensure, even if you want to pass. Because as the AC is blowing people like this, that's why givers never lack. You don't lie. I was in a particular church and the drum set was bad. I had a brand new drum set at home. God said, give it. That as people dance, as they are beating that drum, rejoicing will not depart from your life. I ran up, carried the drum, brought it to church quickly. Because every seed brings its harvest. So I must be passionate about what? Serving. How do you get involved practically in Shadow of Grace Center? Number one, get involved with development classes. How can you be a member of this family and you've not attended classes and you've been here for 6 months? What kind of you are not really part of this family. Are you with me? Secondly, identify a unit and join. Say, all those units, I can't find where I'm supposed to be. Ah! You can't find. About how many units? 15. You know what we do? We sit you down. Create your own unit. Maybe the unit of flying around. I can't find a place. I've looked through. Ah, no. You must be a liar. Or you don't want to serve. Be part of workers' training and prayers. Extremely important. Every Fridays, we have workers' training. I develop ourselves. In-house teachings. Exodus 23:25. You will serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and bless your water. Take sickness away from the midst of thee. So we see how God linked up provision and health to serving. Did you see that? You will serve the Lord your God. What's the next thing he said he will do? He will bless your bread, your water. Take sickness away from you. In Joshua 22:5, take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charge you. To love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways. To keep his commandments and to cleave unto him. And to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Deuteronomy chapter 10 verse 12. Now, Israel, what does the Lord thy God require of thee? Let me ask your neighbor, what does God require from you? Here it is. But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, and to serve. Come on, say serve. With all your heart and with all your soul. When he says with all your heart and with all your soul, he's talking about passionately. Not just anyhow. Number 7, I must be passionate about giving. DNA of a shelter. We are givers. We give. We can give till we drop. We give in Shout of Grace Center. I must be passionate about giving. Not asking irrelevant questions like, what are they using the money for? If anybody asks me that kind of question, I'll tell the person, when they say, I'm coming to church, bring your chair from home that you used to sit down. What are they? And how much is the offering that he wants to give? That is asking question. 200 naira. People that give millions, they don't ask questions. Because they understand the provision and the harvest that goes with giving. Passion towards the church. I must be passionate about giving. Tithe, offering, first fruits, prophet offering. Prophet offering is what you give to your pastor. Kingdom givings. You're doing something in the church, you want to buy something. Giving to the poor and giving to parents. Now, all of these givings are unique of their own. So you don't take your tithe to give the poor. You don't take your church offering to give to parents. No, you do it separately. Is somebody with me? You do it separately. See, the blessings of God becomes full in your life when you appropriate all these covenants. All these things are covenants. Tithe is covenant. Offering, he says, don't come before me empty-handed. Tithe, he said, bring ye all the meat. Bring ye all the offerings to my house that have meat. First fruits, honor the Lord with your first fruits. With your substance, with your first fruits. Prophet offering, honoring your pastor. Say that a man go to war at his own expense. Are you with me? He said, they that learn must give to those who are teaching them. It's in the Bible. Kingdom givings. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things. Hello. Giving to the poor. So when you give to the poor, the blessing of him that is about to perish will come over you. Giving to parents. Honor your parents. So all these ones are covenant practices. You don't do one and leave the other. You appropriate all this. When you appropriate all this, you don't need to pray for prosperity. Prosperity will find you because you have fulfilled all the obedience. God will have no choice. Is somebody with me? That's why when a non-born again, somebody who is not born again, practices this, it will work for him because it's a universal law. A Muslim will do all of these things and he will get blessed. Is somebody with me? All those rich people, Dangote, all of them. You know how those people give crazily? I know pastors that go to them for millions of naira when they want to do crusades. And they will give them 500 million, take. They give like mad people, all those people. That's why they continue to give. You see, people like Davido, they may not be born again, but the way those guys give, you don't see it. They just sponsor somebody to school. They just place this on scholarship. They understand it. It's poor people that don't understand. That's why they are poor. And they will remain poor. You say, hey, is it not because he can sing? No! Is he the only one that can sing? There are people who can sing more than Davido in this country. You don't know. There are people who are gifted more than him. But there's something about platform. So it's possible to not be born again, but because you have a giving heart, you will prosper in that direction. That doesn't tell me the person may not end up in hell anyway. Because it's giving your life to Jesus that guarantees heaven. But when you give, life will give back to you. It is a principle. If you give 2020 naira, 2020 naira harvest will come. It's sure. It's sure. You can't sew a bicycle to get a car. It doesn't work that way. Are you with me here? You sew a tie. Say, I like giving my ties away. Oh, people will give you all kinds of ties. You give your shoe, people will give you shoe. Try it. Whatever you give will come back to you. It's a law of life. It's a law of life. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 11. Say, remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. While a lavish planter does what? Get a lavish crop. He says, I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up your own mind what you will give. That will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. And we have all kind of sob stories and arm twisting on Facebook right now. Don't you think so? It's all over. People attacking giving. Attacking pastors. Anything now is pastor. Online. Anything. If somebody does something, say, instead of those pastors to do this, this is what they are supposed to be. They are buying jets. Attack is the spirit of accusation to weaken, the body of Christ. And such accusations are targeted at you. People that do those things, they don't tithe. They are not helping themselves. They are targeting you that is tithing to stop. It's called mental attack. Davido, whatever you call him, gave his girlfriend a 45 million ride, isn't it? You now go to your boyfriend. You say, I don't think God is speaking again. You say, why? He says, things are happening. Are you not reading blogs? I didn't see anything happen. Why are you reading? Now, what if it is a pastor that gives, not 45 million, 5 million car to his fiancé? Voila, bear. See them, pastor. But Davido can do it safely. It's a demonic attack at the body of Christ. An attack with pastors. So people that are smart, I don't read those things. I don't have time. Somebody called me one day, say, what do you feel about those things? So I say, I don't know what I feel. I don't read them. I don't read rubbish. I don't have time. Are you with me? One of them called me one day. He said, pastor, what do you think about this article mentioned in him? I don't want to mention him. That this person wrote. That person was attacking tithes and false fruit. He said, what do you think? The person sent me the link. He said, what do you think? I said, I don't know what I think. Okay, to just listen to this person, I clicked on it and I read. And the person attacked giving and tithes and false fruit. And this person seemed to have read it and wanted to take a decision. So I told her, I replied her in a mail. I said, I don't care what that person has written. I don't really care. But I will continue to tithe. That's what I wrote. The next day, she sent a false fruit. It was over half a million naira to the ministry. The very next day. So obviously God wanted her to give, and then at the moment she wanted to give, she stumbled on an article. And that's how people's blessings are negotiated out of their lives by reading carelessly. You've not read your Bible. You are finding articles on Facebook. It's not going to work. Verse 8. God can pour on the blessings in astonishing ways, so that you are ready for anything and everything, more than just ready to do what needs to be done. Verse 9. As one psalmist puts it, he throws caution to the winds, giving to the needy in reckless abandon. It's right living, right giving ways, never run out, never wear out. Verse 10. The most generous God who gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread for your meals is more than extravagant with you. He gives you something you can then give away, which grows into full-formed lives, robust in God. Verse 11, wealthy in every way, so that you can be generous in every way, producing with us great praise to God. Hallelujah. Number 8, I must be passionate about speaking well and defending my church. Have you ever fought on behalf of your family before? Has somebody abused your dad or your mom? Do you get angry? I remember when I was in primary 4. Oh, Lord God. I just watched crucifixion of Jesus Christ. How they crucified him. I wept for 6 hours behind the door. Everybody was looking for me in the house until they find me weeping there. Because the story touched my heart. It was the way my mom put it to me. She said, it's because that Jesus died for us. And I was asking him then, with my young mind, how can he die for us? What he did for him is terrible. And so my mom explained this way. He said, if he had not been crucified, all of us would be crucified. I said, what? And then I began to imagine nails in my little hands and on my feet, and I just couldn't bear with it. So I was weeping and crying. So they consoled me, and then I went to take my Bible, and I was reading, and I saw in the Bible where the Bible says, if they slap you on the right, turn the left. If they slap you on the left, turn the right. If they abuse you, bless them. And my primary school is a public school. You know what a public school looks like? Eh? I got to school following day. The normal thing, you know, children play, there's one say real quick. I wanted to say my own bag. Then I remember what I read in the Bible. I remember the crucifixion. So I said, Uri Ekwe. Ah. The guy looked at me. He said, Uri Oda. Uri Eda. Ah. I hear. You know, he was saying all those things. I was blessing him back. Then he went and called all the other people. He said, come and see. He said, come and see this boy. He said, Uri Ekwe. Uri Ekwe. Ah. All kind of curses started flying around. Can you continue that way? At that way, then one boy say, "Can you that way, bye?" I say, "Ah, bye, bye." I lost it at that point because he mentioned my dad and my mom. I couldn't bear it. I just lost it at that moment, and the reason I lost it because you are touching my family. You don't go near my family. Families defend each other. Even when somebody is wrong, they defend you first before you get wrong. One day I took my dad's car, drove out. I just finished secondary school before waiting for university. I just learned driving. It was not up to 2 months. So I went to post office where they didn't send me. You know, when you just... So I went, God let us, I was coming back. So, just to negotiate the junction that will lead to our house, you know, when you are driving, you get to the junction, you press the brake, hold on, before you go like that. Because I just learned driving. So, as I was coming, I was praying that God, don't let there be any car coming. Because my mind, the way you negotiate the junction, is as you are going, just turn it, go inside. So, and that was exactly what I did. That was how I collided with the bike. Bike went this way, the woman went that way, the man went this way. In a moment of time, I just jumped out, mixed with the crowd. Say, ah! You know, the first thing they did was to attend to those people on the floor. As I jumped out, I just mixed with the crowd. Say, Onda! Oti lo, Oti salo. I had to know, I say, ah, Oti salo. I I was praying, what am I going to do? They say, Then my dad came. My dad drove. He was coming back from work with the official car, and then he met us there. He just parked. As soon as he saw, of course, he saw his car, saw me. As soon as he came down, he said, what happened there? He said, share, you let the motor. I'm going to sell off me, Salo. I told my dad, I said, Dad, see, trafficator is on, and it's true, the trafficator was on. It's just that the way I didn't say that part. I said, trafficator is on, and that it was around towards evening, around 6:30. The bike doesn't have headlamp. Even if it has headlamp, I'll still have, you understand, it doesn't have headlamp, so there are things against him. So my dad simply said, sorry, my car is insured, what do you want us to do? Settle it here, go to police station, anyone you want. I said, Baba, can you come? So my dad just gave them some money and I went home. My dad did not say a word there. It was only when we got home. He said, who sent you to post office? I said, I sent myself. God did not send me, I sent myself. What I'm trying to say is that families will first of all protect. Have you been found guilty outside before and your mom just covered it up until you got home? That's family. So in families, we speak well and we defend our church. You don't say, no, because they could come here, just are different in coin. You see somebody saying things about your church and you know it's not true and you don't talk, that means you're part of them. You're part of them. So I said, never criticize the church or leadership where you belong. So it's like criticizing your daddy. You don't have money. I don't know what kind of a father you are. You don't say that to your dad. No matter how richer your neighbor is, you don't despise your dad. Hello? Your neighbor comes up with his car and zooms off. You are pushing your own. You are okay. It's family. And you are telling yourself, when I grow up, I will buy my dad another car. Glory to God. B, never speak against the source of your blessing. You don't abuse your mother, for example, or try to curse your mother. It doesn't work. If your mother puts her hand on her navel, this place, and say anything, it will take God to remove whatever she says. I'm a pastor, I'm telling you the truth. I have to call people out by word of knowledge to get them delivered from threatening, stubborn issues of their life because their mom, they offended their mom and their mom said something wrong. You don't speak against your mom the same way you don't speak against your spiritual father or mother. You don't speak against the source of your blessing. See, disconnect from critical and bitter people. There will be people that are just critical. They don't see anything good. They criticize the church every time. Say something bad every time. When you notice such people around you, move away before they infect you with their poison. And finally, ask questions rather than assume. Somebody says assumption is the lowest form of knowledge. Ask questions. Don't just say, why is Sylvester dancing like that? What kind of dance is that? No, ask questions. Ask him, why are you dancing like that? Let him explain. And this is how we dance in our village. Don't you have village? Clear the air. Don't assume. Whatever you don't understand about the family you belong to, you ask questions. Go to the leadership. You ask questions. Why? Why? And you clear your mind. Praise God. So you speak well and you defend your church. The Bible says in Proverbs 30:17, I'm beginning to round up. It says, the eye that mocketh his father, despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. In other words, his own vision will be gone. He won't see nothing. He won't achieve nothing. Because he's fighting his or her source. Proverbs 20:20. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Confusion will get there. But there's no light for him. Number 9. We're going to number 10. Number 9. I must be passionate about praying for my church and my pastor. Do you pray for Shadow Grace Center? It's in our DNA to pray for the church and pray for your pastor. Does pastor need prayer? Yes. Every time what we do is, pastor pray for me. Pastor agree with me. But have you prayed for pastor? Hello. Look at what I wrote there. Pray for your pastor every day. Very important. Add it to your prayer points every day. B, the anointing you pray for will manifest in your life. The anointing you pray for will manifest in your life. That anointing will bail you out. C, when you pray for utterance for your pastor, God will speak to you. Before you come to the service, you take 5-10 minutes to pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, as I go into the service today, I pray for pastor, speak through him, Holy Spirit rest upon him, help him to minister effectively. When you do that, God will speak to you. God will bring you a word. A revelation will be quickened in your heart. And the reality is that everywhere you find yourself in life is revelation you need to move out of that situation. Are you with me? Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourself for the watch over your souls. That's talking about pastors. As they must give account that they may do it with joy and not with grief. Pray for us. Can you see that? This was Apostle Paul telling the church. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. Let's read Message translation. It says, be responsible to your pastoral leaders. Listen to their counsel. They are alert to the condition of your lives and work under the strict supervision of God. Contribute to the joy of their leadership, not in its drudgery. Why would you want to make things harder for them? Then look at the next verse. Pray for us. Come on, say pray for us. That's pastor talking to the congregation now. We have no doubts about what we are doing or why, but it's hard going and we need your prayer. All we care about is living well before God. And this is very true. Sometimes it can be hard. So members, Shadow Grace Center, we pray for our pastors. Not just for me now, but for every other branches we're going to have in the nearest future. Members of Shadow Grace Center, they do what? They pray for their pastors. Lastly, number 10, I must be passionate about what? I can't hear you. About souls. Now this number 10 requires something we must start doing in a drastic manner. And I'll tell you why. Our goal for year 2018. I'm going to round up. I'm rounding on 5-7 minutes. Our goal for 2018 is SGC 1K mandate. How many of us have heard about that? Let me see your hands up. Okay, beautiful. For those that haven't heard about that, 1K, 1,000. We have a dream, a vision, a goal this year to have a congregation of 1,000 people. Can you say amen? Now, presently, we're just a little bit less than 200. But this place we are in can sit 500 people. Conveniently, with air conditioners and all that, they will be comfortable. 500 people. Two services, that's 1,000 people. So our vision for this year, our goal, is to have a membership of 1,000 people in Shadow Grace Center. That's goal, right? But when you set a goal, the next thing is, what are the action plans towards the realization of your goal? You don't just set a goal and sit down or pray over it. No. What are you doing towards the realization of that goal? And this is where I need every one of us to be part of it. Number one, and this we should take note of this. Number one, sharing and witnessing the gospel. Talking to people about Jesus. There are still people who are not born again. They don't know Jesus. So you make it your responsibility from time to time to tell people about Jesus. What's number two there? Invitations. That is, invite people to church. How will they join if they don't know anything about Shadow Grace Center? See, if you are getting blessed, are you with me? Are you getting blessed in this church? If you are getting blessed, somebody else will get blessed. If you are getting blessed, your friend will get blessed. So we have these flyers we do from time to time. It's on WhatsApp, it's on our WhatsApp page, WhatsApp group. You pick it up and send it to your friends. You deliberately invite, not just you chat up people on Friday, Saturday. You start chatting up people. You start thinking, who am I bringing to church this Sunday? You start, it's something you do actively. And all of us have to get in on this. If we are going to get to SGC 1K mandate, I'm telling you what we need to do. Are you with me? All right? What's the next thing I said there? Never come alone. If all of us do that, if we are like 200 here now, okay, we should be like 150 now as we are seated here. If all of us make up our mind, I will never go to church alone. How many are we going to be next week? Eh? That's 300. Without any stress, no evangelism program. It's just each person decides, when I'm going to church on Sunday, I will find one person. Can we do that? Is that possible? I can't hear us. Is that possible? So in the mind of every shouter, every member of this church, let it be ingrained in your mind. Don't come alone. Find somebody that you can reach out to. You may not be able to sponsor your neighbor or give him money, but you can bring him to church to hear what you are hearing. If you keep coming here Sunday after Sunday, it means you are getting blessed. And it means somebody else can also get blessed. So never come alone. Let me tell your neighbor, never come alone. Tell your neighbor, never come alone. The next thing is to become a media ambassador. Tell your neighbor, you are a media ambassador. How many of us are on Facebook here? Let me see your hands. Okay, the others are not on Facebook, Abby. If you are on Facebook, I want to see you. You are on Facebook. I want to see. Are you afraid of that? Raise it to Facebook. Okay, beautiful. Put it down. Instagram. Let me see your hands. Instagram. Wow. Okay. Now, Instagram, Facebook outreach. How do we do that? Let me tell you. Two ways. There's something you do before the service and then something you do after the service. And it's fun. Believe you me, it's fun. Let me explain it to us. Before, every shouter, every member of this church should pick up our flyer. We do flyers towards Wednesday service, towards Sunday service. Pick up our flyers. Change your DP. Is that what you call it? Your DP. Hello? Hello, and forward it to your friends. Forward it to your friends. Say, I'm inviting you to my church. That is being passionate. You can't say you are passionate about your church and you don't talk to anybody about it. And the reality is that physical handbills are losing steam. People are on Facebook. And you also know that Facebook is losing steam a little bit now. People are going where? Instagram. So if you are not on Instagram yet, please go and join for the sake of the gospel. I know you don't need it, but join. Hello. So you have people like Wole Agba, all those people, they are just making money off Instagram. All those things. All those things he's doing, talking about companies in his program, in his Instagram and his money. Are you with me? People like Kardashian family, Kim Kardashian, all those people, they earn as much as $5 million to tweet one statement. Say, help me to tweet this on Twitter. $5 million? $2.5 million? Why? Because followers on Twitter, 55 million, 70 million. So you discover that in this age we live in, your followership determines your influence online. Hello. If Jesus were alive today, don't you think he would be on Instagram? Because Jesus is always where people are. So stop spiritualizing things like that. You know, all those carnal things. It's not carnal, look. That's where people are. Is somebody with me? So pick up our flyers, send it out. That's what you do before. Now, the one you do after, that's the fun part. That's the fun part. Now listen. Every time you come on a Sunday or Wednesday, there's one thing you learned in the service, right? Maybe one thing strikes you, and or you get blessed. Don't waste it. Are you with me? Take a selfie or take a picture with a friend. Put it on Instagram. Say, my God, church was awesome today. You need to be there. My pastor said, oh, I learned this. Oh, this was great. Somebody will come because of that. Or rather than that, you'll be wasting your picture, wasting our fine church. You go there, you snap, you just put the picture there. Nothing. No comment. It's selfishness. Sincerely, selfishness. Are you with me? It's a drive we have to get into. It's something you have to do. I see people take selfie there every Sunday outside. I don't know where they put them. After services now, on Sunday after services, tell the people in the media. We have professional cameras here. This is Esther helping us. This is another camera here. Tell them to snap you, collect the picture, but put it on Instagram. Not for your boyfriend or girlfriend. Okay? So we'll have photo shoot out after every service. Just go anywhere you want. Just tell them. They'll snap you. They'll give you the pictures. Do you understand? Some of you don't even need to wait for camera. You have a fine phone. Get another friend, choir people, snap together, put it on Instagram. Then tag the church and tag me. When you do that, I will repost it to my own handle. Hello. And it will go around like that. So, listen very carefully. Listen. You take the picture. You say something. It could just be one statement. Something you learned in church. Because people need to hear that testimony. That church was awesome today. The teaching was just on point. Oh, the choir blessed me. We used to write those things on first timers form. But people can't see it. What people can see is on Instagram. So write it there. Yeah, I learned this in church. It was such a beautiful time. It is free. And yet it is influential. Are you with me? And I want us to start doing that now. And when we start, the particular post that has the largest exposure and the largest likes, we will reward that person financially. The money we are supposed to use. Listen now. The money we're supposed to use. We spend money every week on card, on this, on that, on all the money we're supposed to use to do fly for that job, we'll give you. Once you show us, not that you now go and start disturbing people. Go and like that picture. Like it. But sincerely speaking, let's get into this. It doesn't cost us anything, but it will go a long way. Somebody who is just coming to town. Hey, where can I attend? I don't even know which church. And then he sees this. This is the place I'm going. This is how we get to SGC 1K mandate. To, instead of we to sit down there and say, 1,000. 1,000. Maybe 1,000. That get into. Come on, tell your neighbor, get into it. You can request for a picture with Pastor Sophia, with me, with anybody. If anybody comes to you, let's take a picture. You must not refuse it. Take the picture. But if you take somebody's picture and we don't see it on Instagram, we will query you. Praise God. Not that you take a picture with another lady and start saying, this is my new girlfriend. So let's can we do that for God? Is it possible? Please do it. So media, please take note of that. After service, get your cameras, be around, stand outside, anywhere, inside, and you can take your picture anywhere. Just take pictures and get your pictures into your phone. They will put it on the laptop and pass it to you. And please put it on Instagram. Now, my handle is Pastor Dunamis. Just like that.
P-A-S-T-O-R-D-U-N-A-M-I-S. Pastor Dunamis. So you tag me. Then tag the church. Shouts of Grace Center. Not shout, shouts. Shouts of Grace Center. No space. Shouts of Grace Center. And then use any popular hashtag. You can use church. You can use service was hot. You know all those things. So use relevant hashtags. And I promise you, when I see it, I will repost. I didn't go on Instagram early. I went there late. So I have like 3,000 people. So I will repost to my handle. Chat of Grace presently has about over 1,000 followers. So you tag them. Now the people who are in charge of Instagram for Shout of Grace Center will also repost. When we do that every week, believe you me, Shout of Grace will be everywhere in Ibadan. Also hashtag Ibadan. Just put hashtag Ibadan. Hashtag church service. You know, people around us. It's going to be a powerful one. So we are all, can you say with me, we are all media ambassadors. We are all media ambassadors. So let's do that. Write about what you... I went to the particular lady's Instagram and do... she's not in church today. Tibileni girl. And I saw that she will always put what she learned in service. Oh, church was... I God bless you with it. Oh, church was awesome today. I just love the choir. That is what you should do. Now, so make your work easy. Listen carefully as I round up. Connect your Instagram to your Facebook. You don't need to post on the two together. So whatever you post on your Instagram will go to Facebook. How do you do that? You go to your settings. You go to your settings. There is a particular set under your settings in your you know where settings is. There's a particular place, link to Facebook. It will ask you to link up with it. So just sign into the Facebook, it will link together. So whatever you post on Instagram will be on Facebook automatically. And I want us to start this from today, and I'm sure it will go a long way talking about our church to a lot of people. Tag Ibadan, tag University of Ibadan, tag Polytechnic. Just use those popular tags, and believe you me, it will be a great leverage for us as a church. And we'll see what God will do with it. Once we do that on our part, then we'll see what God will do with it. God will help us in Jesus' name. So this in summary is the DNA of a shelter. Anybody that says I'm part of this family, all these things are supposed to be what we are doing. In the next newsletter we are going to do, we put all these things inside that newsletter so that you can read over and over again. You can have it with you. Go over it. And I'm trusting God that as we all come together as a family, work together to do this together, God will make His grace to work for us like never before in Jesus' name. Can we stand up on our feet as I pray for us? Hallelujah. I want you to just ask God for grace to do all these things I've said. Just ask God for grace. Before I pray for you concerning your needs, just ask God for grace. And say, Lord, I want to do these things. I want to give. I want to be a media ambassador. I want to be, I want to do all these things. I want to obey you. I want to read God's word, study God's word. Help me, Lord. Give me grace to be part of this family. To enjoy part of the inheritance in this family. Come on, talk to me. Now listen to me. I want to pray for you. Bring it down. I want to pray for you.